does great things. It's called Youth with a Mission. And so we were just down there observing and just... What are you doing, Mommy? Is it cracking yet? Oh, no! I can go through that one. Oh, well.
All good
your
things.
Your electric must... personality.
Jesus have mercy. All right, I'll try to do this without talking with my hands too much, but if it goes, I'm so sorry. Not the greatest at these types of things, but it's okay. So we went down there, and we would do, we had chapel and different things like that, and we'd learn, had classes, and then we had this thing called acts of service. We would help on the grounds what needed help with. So it went from cleaning bathrooms to doing things. They had me one time, and you know, this is act of service. Now, looking back, I don't know if I would have been as eager to do this, but looking back at it, I was like, wow, I was really going for Jesus. So they had this pond filled with dirty water. I mean, it was nasty, like, looking water. And they were like, well, we need some guys to go clean it out. And I was like, well, what do you mean clean it out? They said, reeds in the pond itself, and we need to go pull them out. Now, me thinking nowadays, I'm thinking, well, there might be an alligator in there. There might be snakes in there. There might be all types of other things. But I was like, yeah, we'll do it. So, but the thing is, I got to be in water. And in Texas, it's really hot, like I said. So we were in water. So that was a nice thing, still being down there. But we started pulling up these reeds, and then we started feeling these puncture wounds, it felt, on our hands. And we're like, what is going on? When we opened up one of the reeds, we found out there were fire ants living in the reeds. So we had to make a little quick decision there where we had to drown the reeds first and then pull them out and get them out. But the thing is about fire ants in Texas is they still survive in water. So we were having a great time learning how to do this. Tell you, it was our hands were just covered with little ant bites from the end of that, but it was okay. It was for Jesus, so it was okay. So, I mean, it was ups. We had some great services. God did some great things, and then I can identify. Can any of y'all identify with the Apostle Peter when you just say the dumbest things sometimes? Can y'all, maybe, no, y'all don't have that problem. Y'all must not have that problem at all. No, you guys don't have it. Pastor Steve never has that problem. He always says exactly what to say when he needs to. I mean, he is a wonderful man about that. I'm glad that you do that, because I don't. I tend to put my foot in my mouth. And there was this one time where, boy, I did this. And I look back and I'm like, man, Jesus help me. And I'm 15, so I lived that in the young and dumb thing. So I'm like, one of our supervisors, one of our guys who was helping us do many things in teaching us, he wanted to drive his motorcycle one night. And his dad, who was one of the other leadership in the YWAM, was like, no, we don't want you driving. It's in the rain or something like this. I don't remember the exact circumstances. But then I walk up. Oh, my goodness. I still can't believe I did this. I walk up, and I'm like, hey, you know, Jesus doesn't give us a spirit of fear. Can you imagine that? And it's his dad and his son, and dad and son, and the dad looks at me, and this is probably what Jesus looked like, Peter. He's like, really? Really? He just looks at me. He doesn't say a word. I appreciate the grace he had for me and my, you know, my knowledge, my wisdom there, not very much. But he looked at me. He just looked at me, and then he just looked back at his son and just ignored me. So I was like, I felt, you know, I was all encouraged. I was ready to go. I was going to save the world and everything like that because of being in meetings all day. And I thought that was the best thing to say, and nope. It wasn't. So I had this roller coaster. And then when we went, and then we had some more teaching and things like that. Then we went down to Mexico. So about 30 teenagers, if you can believe it, 30 teenagers went down to Mexico. It was crazy. We had a good time. We really do had a good time. We were singing on the bus. We were carrying on, guys and girls both. We had a great time. And then we realized our destination, Mexico. And we realized our destination was not what we had thought. Where we had come from AC and different things, we realized we were in the middle of a desert, and there was a shelter there with no windows, no doors except for the bathroom. That was the only thing, and that was made of concrete, and we were just kind of staying there, and we had tents pitched up. Now, we are in the desert a few miles outside of town, in the desert. So they're like, okay, we got to make sure you have enough water in your canteens and things like that. I'm like, we're not. I'm looking around. I'm like, there's nothing around us. Like, who are we supposed to be ministering to? They said, well, there's a city about 5 miles in that you guys minister to. I'm like, okay. And then we realize out in the desert, there's wildlife. Did you know there's wildlife in the desert? Did you know? You know that not everything out there likes you either, being out in the desert. So we just happened to come across a few things, not to mention rattlesnakes. Well, that was a lovely experience. One of my friends actually got stung by a scorpion living there because it crawled into her shirt. When she put on the shirt, it stung her. She was okay, thank the Lord. But that was a whole other interesting story. And then to top it off, I had a pet tarantula that wanted to sleep with me in my tent, and that was not allowed. I did not allow that. It was huge. I heard my roommate, his name was John, and he was like, I just heard him say, and I was like, what is going on? And then I see it. It was Lily. It was massive. And I'm like, Jesus, I'm sleeping on the roof. And so that night, I think I did sleep on the roof. So it was crazy. And I was like, man, Lord, what are you doing? I mean, we were just preparing, we're all good to go, and then all of a sudden, boom, this whole other journey stops, and we're like here in the middle of the desert. I mean, I would have thought we'd have eaten wild locusts and honey, but we didn't, but I thought about it. But it was just crazy. And then we got to go to some of the meetings. We served there to some of the meetings. We saw God do some awesome things. And it was great to see what God did. Some miracles. And we see people came to Christ of all different ages. And we're like, yes, this was good. This was part of it. This is what we were training for. This is what we were praying for. We got to see some great things. And isn't it great when God does great things? Isn't it wonderful when you can be a part of that, when you can participate in that? You're like, yes, this is so good. And then the last thing we did, which was kind of an up and down. We went to the Mexico trash dumps, and these people and these kids that lived there broke our hearts. Literally. There was a smell in that place that is undistinguishable. I've never smelled anything like that, never smelled anything like that since. And I've been to some places that are not that great. And then there were all these kids, and they were living amongst cardboard houses. Literally, cardboard houses is all they had. And there were pigs everywhere. It was such a poverty place, I couldn't believe it. And this is the first time I, as a teenager, had come into contact with what poverty really looked like. And I was heartbroken. There were some members of our team that just cried almost the whole time because they were just so broken because of what these kids were doing. And these kids were my kids' ages now. Anywhere from 5 to 10. And they were running and having a good time. And they looked at us and they were playing with our hair and different things like that. They didn't smell the greatest at all. And our hearts broke for these guys. And it was just like, God, what are you doing? And so we got to pray with them. We got to lead someone to Christ. And that was a wonderful time. But we went away from that knowing that there are people that really need the love of Jesus. And it was hard. It was very hard leaving there. Because we knew we would go home to air conditioning and things like that, living, you know, roof over our heads and things, and not having to really worry about our next meal and things like that. But these kids, these people, the parents, the government had given up on them. There was nothing there for them. They had to just survive, and that was it. But I say this, that even though wherever place we are on our journey, He is always there for us, isn't He? No matter if we're in Mexico, in the slums, no matter if we're here in Pennsylvania amongst the snow, because snow's getting real, no matter if we're serving somewhere down in Florida, no matter where we are in life, God is still there, and He's with us every step of the journey. And when we are in His journey, you know, things happen. And this is the quote that God gave me for that. Even though His mysteries I can't understand, He gives me more grace to stand. Come on, somebody. I'll say it again. Even though His mysteries I can't understand, I don't always know what God's up to. I don't. And boy, I wish I do sometimes. And why some situations are like they are in my life or in my friend's life or in my family's life. But all I know is He gives me more grace to stand. Doesn't He? The things that He's brought us through already, the journey that He's been through already, He continues to give us grace to stand. Amen? So the title of my message today is The Journey. As you can tell, I went through a YWAM mission trip. It was a great journey, ups and downs. But don't you guys know that we're going through a journey right now, aren't we? Yeah. Some of us are at a great place in the journey. We're like, yes, this is good. Some of us are in a place where like, well, it could be better. Some of us are in a place where this is tough. This is tough. And no matter where you are in the journey, God is always there. One of the people I love to see about that journey through the Bible is Simon Peter. So what we're going to do is we're going to turn our Bibles to Luke 5. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to skip around to some different stories and highlight some different stories, because if I don't, we're going to be here all day and all night. And I'm sure you guys want to eat sometime. And it's okay. I do too. But we're going to look at some things about the journey that Peter went through. And isn't it great that Jesus doesn't leave us where we are, that He brings us through? And when talking about this, that's one of our mission statements here at CLCC, is walking in freedom. His promises, forgiveness and truth. That's one of our things here, one of our mission statements here at CLCC, that we can walk in the freedom that He has for us. So Luke 5. I'm going to be jumping around, like I said. So here's the first experience of Peter with Jesus. All right? First time. So Jesus is teaching on the shore. Peter pulls up in his boat. Jesus says, can I get in the boat and teach a little more? He's like, sure. Why not? Whatever. You know, fishermen are really nice people. It's just in the Bible. And so we see Peter. He lets him in the boat. Jesus finishes teaching. And then Jesus says, hey, put out a little bit further in water. And let's go catch some fish. But a little deeper. And Peter's like, come on. I'm a fisherman. You're obviously some type of teacher. I know about fishing. You do not. I mean, come on. That's what you would say. I mean, let's be real. Peter would probably say, okay, you're really going to tell me how to fish. I've been doing this for many years now. But okay, if you say so, I'll do it. You say so, Jesus. I'll do it. Whatever. I'll prove you wrong. And maybe that's what he was thinking. Maybe not. The scripture doesn't say. I'll prove you wrong, Jesus. And we'll just see. Because I fished all night and I didn't get anything. They put out the deeper water. You know what happens, don't you? They catch such a large catch that they have to call their partners over to help them out with the nets. Because they start to, looks like the nets are going to break. They don't. But it looks like the nets are going to break. Sometimes Jesus wants to fill our nets if we're willing to go with Him. Isn't that true? If we're willing to go with Him. It might not seem like it's the right time or the right place or like, God, what are you really doing? I did all this stuff already. He's just saying, come on. Come out to deeper water. Let's throw out our nets again. And then I love Peter's response. He's like, Lord, depart from me. I am a sinner. You don't want to have any business with me. And maybe that was some of our walks with Jesus the very first time we met Him. I don't know, God. I mean, I'm not a perfect Christian. I'm not a perfect anything. I'm nobody special. But the great thing is, he still chose Simon, who later called his name Peter, and he still calls us to be a part of his kingdom. Doesn't he? And God wants to call you today to be a part of his kingdom. All right, let's skip around a little bit. So we're going to look in Luke 8. So Peter knows a little bit now more about Jesus. He's like, wow, he can do some miracles. He saw him do a few more miracles in the chapters later on. But in Luke 8, we see something very different. Now, Peter, of course, is a fisherman, and his disciples are some fishermen as well. And they get caught up in a storm on sea. And they know, if they know it's bad, they're saying they're going to die. They know it's bad. I mean, they're just saying. Fishermen know what storms are, and they know when a certain storm comes up, a certain gale, it can be really bad. And they're all frightened. They're like, oh my goodness, Jesus! He's sleeping in the bottom of the boat! We're going to die! You know, wake him up. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes in our lives on this journey? We're all like, oh, God, I don't know what's going to happen. Everything's going to fall apart. Everything's going crazy. I'm not going to be able to make it. And Jesus is still sleeping in the boat. Thanks, Jesus. Come on. Let's just be real. Can we be real? Can we be honest? That's how we feel sometimes. Jesus, where are you? I need you now. I'm going to die. Things are going to happen that I do not appreciate, that I do not like. And he's still sleeping. But when he gets up, I find it very interesting. When he gets up, he's just like, I can just see the look on Jesus' face. It doesn't tell us exactly what happens with that look, but I can just see the look on Jesus' face. He looks at them, he's like, I got this. That's what I picture in my mind. Now, I'm not saying that it happened, but I'm just saying I can just see Jesus. I got this. And then, we know what happens. Calms the wind and the waves. Now, these disciples had read many different things about in the Torah, about what had happened in miracles and prophets and things like that. But to actually see something like that take place, minds blown. Who is this that can command the seas and the wind? That's my Jesus. Their perspective of Jesus. They had seen some great, wonderful things already. Don't get me wrong, they had. But this was on a whole new level. When someone can call forth nature, that's a whole nother level, isn't it? That's like Brother Mike going out there. Snowstorm's coming. Nope, no more snowstorm. That's it, boom. Snowstorm disappears. I know I get some likes out of that one. Yeah! No more snow. All right, Pastor. All right, Brother Mike. You got this. Go out there, rebuke the snowstorm next time. Oh, yeah. We got to pray against that. Brother Mike, you got to lead us in prayer for that. Isn't that amazing? Come on. The disciples are like, we knew he was special. We just didn't realize how special he was to be able to do that. And I don't know what storms you might be having in your journey at this time. But let me tell you, my Jesus can calm any storm and calm any wind. Come on, somebody. Come on, that's good right there. Let's skip around a little bit more. So in Luke 9, verse 10, we see Jesus do something a little bit more different. Did you know that Jesus cares about your well-being? And if you're hungry, he cares about that too. Did you know that? Well, in Luke 9, 10, we see the story where he feeds the 5,000. Now, I can just see this happening. I mean, I appreciate the disciples being like, all right, Jesus, it's time to send the guys home. Send the people home because it's been a long day. You've preached a lot and it's been good, but they need to go home. They didn't have a 7-Eleven or Sheetz right down the corner. You know, they had to travel a little ways to get some food. And I appreciate the disciples being compassionate enough to do that. But what they weren't expecting was for Jesus to say, okay, you feed them. Yeah. They're like, what? How many times does we tell Jesus about something? He's like, okay, what are you going to do about it? Yeah. What do you mean? What do you mean me? I mean, I just want to let you know about Jesus. I mean, I'm, you know, you start going, you know, you start wondering, what's going on? Jesus wants me to do something. I don't know what to do. You know? He says, no, you feed them. And then I can see the guys are like, well, what do we, you know, they kind of get in a big old huddle. Well, what do we do? I don't know. What do we do? I don't know. He said, feed them. I don't know. Should we feed them? Do you have any money? I don't have any money. Do you have any money? I don't have any money. Do you have any food? I don't. Well, this boy has food. Well, we should take the boy's food. No, let's not take the boy's food. That's robbery. So let's get them him. We'll just present him to Jesus. We'll do that. Well, okay. All right, Lord, here you go. Here's five loaves of bread, two fish. There you go. That's what we got. We found it. Yay! Can you imagine that whole scene? How funny that must have been. And how the disciples were just trembling in fear because they're like, we don't know what to do. And then Jesus, and like I said, I wish I could have seen his face. He's like, I got this. So he gets the five loaves of bread, breaks the bread, gets the two fishes, and then ends up feeding everyone, 5,000. He cares about us. He cares about us, well, about our well-being. He didn't want anyone to faint or anyone to go home and have problems. He cares about us. He cares about us so much that he even had an increase. 12 extra baskets of fish and bread left over. Come on. I mean, it's not Super King Buffet. It's Super Jesus Buffet. I mean, come on. It's got some good stuff. You could eat there and eat there and eat there and still have lots left over. Come on, somebody. He's going to provide. Even when we have just a little. And sometimes we've got to take away that principle. If we give what we have to Jesus, he can multiply it. Can he? If we give the five loaves and the two fishes to Jesus, he can multiply that. Come on. But we have to be willing to do that. Amen? So let's go a little bit further. Luke 9, 20. Here's where it gets really interesting. Now, I mean, all these miracles are pretty amazing. Let's not downgrade any of the miracles, because they are amazing. I mean, I'd love to see more of these things happen today. And I want to see God use me and more of these things happen today. Don't you want to see that? Don't you want to participate with God to see God do things with you like that? Let's just ask God for that right now. Let's just raise our hand. If that's you and you want God to do things through you, like what he's doing here, then you say, Father, right now, I make myself available to do miracles on your behalf. Use me, God. Amen. All right, y'all better be ready. Y'all better be ready, because you asked for it. And it's going to come. So if someone looks to you to feed 5,000 people this week, you better find that boy with five loaves of bread and two fish. You better give Jesus what you got, because who knows? He is good, though. So then we see in Luke 9, Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. They're up there praying with Jesus. They like to fall asleep a lot, which, you know, I understand, because I like to fall asleep a lot when I pray. That's why you see me walk. That's the way I don't. And I explained that story a while back. That's why I walk, so I make sure I stay focused. They were kind of falling asleep, and then all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah show up. That'd be crazy. Moses and Elijah show up, and then there's big, thick clouds going around them as well. And then they hear the almighty voice of God. The audible voice of God. This is my son. Listen to him. Now, I know these guys have not heard the voice of the Lord, because there's nothing in Scripture that shows any part of that. And you just get surrounded by a cloud. You see Moses and Elijah with Jesus, and then you hear this voice. Let me tell you, that's pretty crazy. That's pretty awesome. I want to see that happen in my life. I'm like, man, yes, Lord, do it. I want to see that. That's pretty awesome. And they're so blown away by this. So blown away. And then Peter speaks up. And, you know, like like I like to speak up when in my story where Jesus kind of looks at me and like, Peter speaks up. Let's build 3 temples. Let's do it. One for Elijah, one for Moses, one for you, Jesus. And Jesus is like, no, Peter. No. You missed it. You missed it. I can identify with Peter because I miss it sometimes. But Jesus shows Peter about how awesome he is. And he showed him, this is part of the journey that Jesus is on with him. He shows him these things. But it's not all roses, is it now, this journey? It's not all roses. Just like our journey, it's not all roses. I wish it was. It'd be nice if we went from the mountain to the mountain to the mountain to the mountain and enjoyed the mountain life. And what I mean by the mountain life means everything is great. Everything is wonderful. There's nothing going on. No trials, no tribulations, no tests. Wouldn't that be nice, Pastor Steve? Boy, it'd be nice. But you realize if you go from mountaintop to mountaintop without going through the valley, you'll never grow. Nor will you ever be in a place to bring someone out of the valley. Come on, somebody. That's one of the reasons why we go through these valleys, these trials, testing times. It's not just for us, because God wants to do great things in us. There's no doubt about that. He's going to finish the good work that he started in us. But he wants us to bring others with us. He wants our testimony to encourage others. And that's why I share stories, and that's why the Lord gives us things, because he wants to encourage the brothers and the sisters in Christ about what he wants to do. Because a little bit later, we see the Last Supper. And Peter's like, no, Lord, I'll go with you wherever. I'll fight to the end. I'll go to death with you if you have to. And then Jesus is like, actually, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter's like, no way. That's not going to happen. We go forward to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus taken off by the Pharisees, by the crowd. Disciples run. And then later on, we see Peter feared for his life. That strong man, Peter, that said, I'll do anything, Jesus. I'll go. I'll do whatever. Denies Jesus 3 times. That's a low point, isn't it? And then they had to be there to watch the crucifixion of Jesus. Whew. The Savior of all mankind, the Messiah, the one they put their hopes and dreams in, the one they saw amazing things. They saw him with Moses and Elijah. They saw him in the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw him feed the 5,000. They saw him calm the waves and the wind. They saw all these amazing things, and yet he's on the cross dying. He's on the cross succumbing to death, to bowing to death. That was a tough journey for Peter. And then there was a little bit of hope when they said they saw that Jesus wasn't in the tomb anymore. It's a little bit of hope. Well, maybe that's true. Because Peter and John both ran to the tomb. John stopped, and Peter went in to see what was in there. And there was just clothes folded up together. His rags. A little bit of hope. Maybe. Just maybe something happened. Not sure. And then later on we see in John 21. He stood on the shore. Jesus was. And he was like, hey, did you guys catch anything? Does this remind you of anything? Where we first started? In this journey? You guys catch anything? No, we've been fishing all night. Well, why don't you fish again? And they catch a huge haul. And somebody remembers. Somebody remembers that this is where it all started again. Someone remembers, this is where I had my first encounter. And they realize it's Jesus. and all that sorrow, all the rough times fade away. And he jumps in the water after Jesus. He swims to him. Embraces it, I'm sure. So happy to see him. Because Jesus showed up again. And then later on, Jesus asks Peter about, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I do. And feed my lambs, feed my sheep. He didn't ask anyone else that. He said, Peter, I realize the journey you've been on, but I still accept you. No matter what part of that journey you feel like you failed, I still accept you. I still called you. And I'm still working on you. Isn't he doing that the same for us? Doesn't matter what part of the journey that you've been on, whether it's a good portion or it's a bad portion, he still called you. He still loves you. Even though his mysteries I can't understand, he gives me more grace to stand. Been many people in my life that I've seen examples of God doing great things no matter where they are on their journey. My father being one, and I've told the story about what has happened to him, and even through it all, even through everything that he was, everything that he'd become, he still was a joyful man. He chose to have the joy of the Lord as his strength. And his son continues to do that. I've seen many people, like I said, my father was one. In my church back in Virginia, there was a lady there who had polio in her legs. And she had a hard time getting around. But she would still go with the church to missions trips. Even though it was a struggle for her to do everything that she could do, she would still go on to mission trips and still preach the word and still pray. And when I was younger, I was like, well, why is she going? You know, I don't understand this. And because you should just be relaxing at home and things like that. But she was being effective where she was in her journey. And that's what we're called to be. No matter where we are in this journey, no matter what setbacks we have, no matter what our physical, financial, spiritual, our mental state is, we can still be effective for him. We can still share his love to others. And the lady was never healed, unfortunately. And I don't know why. But let me tell you, it was a testimony to me saying that she loved her Jesus and she wanted to share it. It didn't matter what part of the journey she was on, she was going to share it with others. It's tough, though, sometimes on this journey. Because we see a lot of things we just don't understand. Recently, we had a friend of ours pass away. His name was Pastor Tracy Connor. And I'd known Tracy for quite a few years. I wasn't really close to him, but he definitely helped me on more than a few occasions. Great man. Loved him very much. And now he's home with the Lord. He finished his journey. And the words that were said at his funeral were by his daughters and his wife was that you would grow closer to God. That was his request. Grow closer to God. Because his journey does come to an end sooner or later on this world, on this life. Grow closer to God. And when you finish your journey, what are the words that you're going to hear? What are the words you're going to hear? What are the words you want to hear? That's right. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Those are the words that we want to hear. Because this journey's tough sometimes. It's tough. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. But I want to hear these words. I want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But I want to hear these words. I want to serve him in a capacity where he will say these types of things to me when I get there, when I've finished my journey. He'll say, "Van, boy, I've been waiting for you for a long time. I'm so happy that you finished your journey. I'm so happy that you did the best you could with what I gave you. I'm so happy you did such a good job of being a father, being a friend, being someone that I can send people to that you'll love on. You did such a great job. Maybe you didn't do everything perfect, and that's okay. I still accepted you. I still wanted you to influence people and to bring people into my kingdom. I'm so proud of you. You did a great job. Welcome into my kingdom. Come, I've got some people here for you to meet. People that you've inspired. Some people that you've lived your life here on earth and that they're no longer with you on earth, but now you can see with them. You can be with them for all eternity with me. Let me show you the Father and his manifest glory like you've never seen." That's the type of response I want. That's what I'm going for. And I want to help people get to that point as well on this journey. I want to encourage you to keep going after it. It doesn't matter where you are. And there, like I said, there's a lot of places where this congregation is. A lot of places. And maybe you watching online, there might be a place where you are that might not be as nice or as feel good. But God wants to do some great things. Don't give up. Keep on the journey. Because he who started a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And once we complete it, I can't wait to hear those words from my Lord and Savior. We all just stand right now. God gave me this message to encourage us today. And wherever this next season holds, wherever it goes, whatever part of the journey that we're going on, I want to encourage you, no matter what situation you're on today or what part of your journey you're on, you can participate. You can be effective where you are. You don't have to be in perfect health. You don't have to have $1 million in the bank. You don't have to be the perfect Christian. You don't have to have your whole family all lined up, everyone serving Christ. You be effective where you are, whom God has put in your circle of influence. Because that's what he's entrusted you with. And he wants to do great and wonderful things through you to touch their hearts, to encourage, and also he's going to keep finishing the work he started in you. So what we're going to do is, Andrew's getting ready to play that song in just a moment. And if you would like prayer for whatever part of the journey that you're on, whether it's, "Lord, I need to rededicate my life to you," or whether it's, "Lord, I need a little help in this situation I'm going through," or whether it's, "Lord, I just want more of you. I'm at a good spot right now, but I realize that I have to keep going after you." If you would like prayer, or if you'd like to come forward for that, I would encourage you to go for that. Because he's waiting. And he wants to inspire and encourage us, no matter what part of the journey we're on. So I'm just going to open up the altar for anyone that wants to come up. And then after the song is played, if you would like personal prayer for any situation, then we'll be happy to do that. But I want to open up the altar for everyone that wants to come up and say, Lord, I need you in this journey. Either the situation's rough and I need you, or I need you, Lord, the situation's great, but I still want more of you. I'm not satisfied. You've got so much great things in store for me. Or maybe it's someone else. You know of someone else that's on a journey, that's having a hard time, and you want to come up and pray for them. So I'm going to leave the altar open for anyone for any of those things. And then if you'd like prayer after the song, then we can do that as well, some personal prayer. But if Andrew, if you want to go ahead and play that for me, please. Thank you, Lord. I am yours, O Father. I am yours, O God. Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the words that you've given us today, Father. For about the mountains that can be thrown into the sea, that can be just wiped out flat, Father. The mountains that we're looking at. Father, give us courage to take the first step. Whether it's our friends or whether it's our family or whether it's us, Father. Give us courage to take the first step, Father. No matter what part we're on the journey, no matter what our circumstances, we can still be effective. We can still proclaim your name. We can still love and show others you through our love. We thank you, Father, right now. Father, be with us as we leave today. Help us to be full of your love, full of your compassion, but also full of your power to empower others, to bring them with us on this journey. Because our end destination is your presence. And when we get there, well done, my good and faithful servants. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. If anybody would like prayer, you can come up to the altar. We'd like it. We're just going to dismiss right here. I just want to encourage everyone. Doesn't matter what your situation is. Go for it. Amen.